Hello, and welcome to this episode of Hammering Down. I'm your host, Kaylor Hodges. And maybe you can tell I'm no longer recording outside. I know last week was a bit of a weird recording schedule. Right now, I'm in the process of figuring out the Atlanta United pre-match preview. And I'm also trying to figure out the Charleston one. Basically, I need to pre-record everything and get that figured out. So, obviously we are going to be talking about the Louisville City match, which if you were not able to go watch Louisville, go to Louisville, I highly recommend you going out to Louisville. I have a whole article on it. I would go check that out. It's away day, Louisville City FC. I don't have an article for tonight written yet. I'm going to work on that in just a little bit. Normally, I do the article first, then I record. But since yesterday was kind of crazy, I decided to record first. I have my notes. I just haven't written it to website yet. Last night's loss was very, very difficult to take. And it's not really just the fact that it was a loss. I think a lot of Legion fans said, you know what, we're going away to Louisville City. A lot of people can chalk that up as a loss. I said it, that I thought it was going to either be a loss or a draw. I thought it'd be pretty difficult for Legion to walk out of there with a win. The thing is, and even though I have very much been, you know, congratulating Coach Soane on, you know, his tactical changes, his decision-making that he's been doing lately. The match yesterday, as I'm recording this, was a complete disaster class on how to manage a football match. It just was. And I don't mean necessarily his red card. I mean, he has every right to be upset. That said, Legion didn't put themselves in the position to win. They just didn't. I think here's when you only have 6 shots on target, you're versus like a lot. Sorry, not 6 shots. When you only have 5 shots, only 2 on target, and the other team has 17 shots, there's one-way traffic here. And what we saw is that we decided to play a counter-attacking brand of footy, which is great. That's what we've been doing. But we didn't press. We just did not press. At the very beginning, I asked Danny Cruz, Louisville City's head coach, afterwards. I said, you know, how did you guys choose to attack this team? This is a very different team. And he said early on, Legion were pressing. And then he said, you know, he mentioned Juan Aguidello's pace a little bit. He was like, well, we were able to finally break through his press, and then after he got bogged down into the midfield, we could just pass the ball around him. And does that not tell you everything that we've been saying, that I've been saying forever? Juan Aguidello is great. He is a good player, but we needed Eddie Horvat in this match. Is there any question on whenever Bruno Lapa, Anderson Asiadu, and Eddie Horvat were on the pitch that's the best the team looked all night? At that point, by the time that Mikey had been sent off for his second yellow card and Eddie Horvat came in, even though we already got a goal back, that was still the most dangerous we looked all night, was when we had Eddie Horvat in. And Bruno Lapa, I understand why he's not starting, because he needs to get a little bit of match fitness. I don't fully understand Anderson. I just don't get it. It was a complete disaster class. And on top of that, if you're dealing, I know I saw a lot of people upset with how Jake Roof played last night. I would like to mention that if you didn't see the very first minute of the game, it was like a minute or two into the match. Jake got stepped on in an area most men do not want to be stepped on. And you could tell for the rest of the first half that he was not feeling well. And it was very, very frustrating that Mikey Lopez, I love Mikey, I do. He was a guy for a long time that Legion fans were saying that they need to build a statue of. People were calling for Mikey Lopez's statue before Matt Van Nokel, before Anderson Acedu, before Prosper Kassim. Mikey Lopez was the first guy that people were really calling for that for. But he has a streak where as soon as he gets his yellow, you're a little bit worried about him getting his second one. That's just kind of what he does. And I would also like to mention Fanwell Kavita got his got a yellow card, and I mentioned in my pre-match preview, unless I'm missing something within the rules, this is his fifth yellow card, so it could be without Fanwell as well for this match against Atlanta United too. Could be very interesting. But why, whenever you make the sub of Mikey Lopez, who was playing defensive midfield, why don't you sub him out for, I don't know, Anderson Acedu, especially since you were planning to bring him in anyway? So they take out Jake Roof, which Danny Cruz, after the match, straight up said as well that they were targeting him a little bit. They thought that he was the weakness in the back line. And after he got stepped on, I'm willing to agree. That's what happens when you get trampled on like that. But I get it. Take off Jake. And at that point, you can move, I don't know, your left back, Ryan James, back, the one that's already on the pitch, the one that already does not have a yellow card to his name. Instead, we take off Ryan James for some reason. Maybe the only thing I can think of is that they wanted to get Enzo Martinez out wide, which ends up working out-ish. But then Mikey Lopez goes and gets his yellow. And I saw people complaining about the reffing, right? And from my angle on the field, now, I watched a little bit of the live stream. I watched it back to see if there was something I missed. What it looks like on TV is that maybe it does look a little bit harsh. But in person, as it happened, as soon as Mikey made the tackle, before I heard the whistle, I turned around and I looked at the Louisville City fans and I said, he's getting sent off. Yeah. I mean, how can you argue with that? I'm not going to argue with that. And for the Matt Van Okel conceding a pen, where, from my perspective, where I was sitting, now a lot of people are saying that he has the right to the ball and that he got ball first, right? From my perspective, he got foot, then ball. Now, on the TV stream, it doesn't look like that, but in person on the pitch, that's what it looked like to me. But even if you remove that fact, if you remove the pin, yeah, I do think we probably would be coming away with points. I think we'd be coming away with at least a point. But the biggest disaster here, it's not taking off Mikey. Why would you not take off Mikey? Okay, you want to get Bruno in. I don't know. Maybe you could take off a Zach Herivo, right? Get him into the midfield. You can take out and you can move Ryan James back to your left back spot. You move Enzo Martinez out to the left wing. You get the same formation that you're looking for, except you have a left back that doesn't have a yellow card. It makes no sense to me. And if you're going to go against the Louisville City side, we are not going against, I know I'm going to eat my words. I don't know, screw it, whatever. We're not going against Atlanta United too. We were going against Louisville City, and Juan just wasn't fast enough. Juan has a lot of talents, but whenever you're going to sit back and play counter-attacking football, you need to have somebody pressing. At that point, if you do not have somebody pressing, which Juan just does not have the speed to do so, at least do so effectively, all you're doing is just parking the bus. And that's what leads to one team having 17 shots, you know, an XG, which again, XG only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. XG is expected goals. So every single time that you take a shot, there's a certain percentage So, for example, the penalty that Tosh took, that has an expected goal. It goes, that ball goes into the back of the net 78 or 79% of the time. That's how that's weighted. They had an XG of 3.21. We had an XG of 0.21. We got completely outplayed. Now, the beginning of the second half, we were outplaying them. And then we get the red card, right? Why? Why? And I just don't understand what the thought process was there. And as soon as Eddie Horvat came in, even after the goal by Enzo Martinez, Eddie Horvat completely changed the game. And something that people do not talk about enough, and I'm going to give a little bit of credit here to our two Brazilians. First off, to Marlon, he created that Enzo goal. I understand that the ball deflected off a defender whenever he tried to play it all over, whatever. His ability to just make magic out onto that right side and pass the ball over. I know sometimes he goes down a little bit easy, but he knows when he has a chance. And he had a chance, and he played it over. It gets over to Enzo Martinez, and he buries it. But for Bruno Lapa, the other Brazilian, the Brazilian magician, I missed his free kick ability. That's something that I think a lot of people didn't pay attention to. With Ryan James and Enzo Martinez and Prosper Kasim, I think we saw that. I mean, Bruno's just the best free kick taker on the team. They did fine, but nobody can drop one on a platter like Bruno Lapa can. And we need to get Bruno Lapa back into the starting lineup as soon as possible. I don't know who we're going to drop. I don't know who gets dropped. I feel like it's a little bit unfair for somebody to get dropped, but Bruno Lapa needs to be back in this team. I do think that also something that should be pointed out is at the very, very, very end of the game, Legion sub off Marlon for Matthew Corcoran, which obviously this shows you that Prosper Kasim was never getting into this match. You take out your right wing. If you're going for the win, you're putting in Prosper Kasim if he's healthy. So that just showed he wasn't healthy, which is fine, but that concerns me a little bit because there was a moment at the very, very end of the match where Matthew is just onside, and if you have Prosper Kasim there, he's in a perfect place to shoot that ball with his left foot, and it probably goes into the back of the net. Or at least he's an ability to pass it off to somebody. Matthew showed a little bit of his age. He panicked. It was very obvious that he panicked, and it was hard. It was hard to watch. He's going to grow. He's going to get there. Those are the kind of moments that you do learn from. But yeah, that was a moment for me that you really did see Matthew Corcoran's age just a little bit. I don't know. Overall, it's kind of hard to judge this match because the team played well at times. And at other times, for the most of the time, they were not that great. Our defense, like I've mentioned before, we have a really good defense. That's something that Danny Cruz mentioned several times, is that this Legion team has a legit defense. It's a great defense. It's a great defense. And he's not wrong. There's a reason that we had over 300-something minutes of no goals allowed against us. We have a great defense. But if you're going to sit back and play counterattacking footy, you just cannot have someone just not pressing, especially against Louisville City. I think that we saw a lot of our struggles. And don't forget that Louisville City had two goals disallowed because of an offsides. One of them was very close, and I think Louisville City fans have a right or have a rightful complaint about that one. It was a Mushikalusa goal that he finished away. You kind of have to look at that and say that this could have easily been a 2-1 ball game without a penalty. This could have been a 3-1 ball game with the penalty, or more, 4-1, whatever. This was a match that we saw that we were overpowered by a great Louisville City side. This is what happens when you have 9,000 700 people, whatever it was, at home. They were incredible. The Lou City fans were loud. They were great. Hey, Lou City fans, you guys were awesome. I full respect to you guys. And I want to give a bit of a shout out to some of the Lou City guys. I mean, Joshua Winder, Winder. He scored his first ever professional goal. Well, his first ever goal in the USL, and it came at home. He's a Louisville kid. He's from Louisville. Scores his first goal in the USL at home in a key match. And then you have Shantosh, who I met his father at the tailgate beforehand. So that was pretty cool. The Tosh family was awesome. I talked to him afterwards. And he had mentioned that this Louisville City versus Legion match is turning into a bit of a rivalry. It came out of his own mouth that this is a bit of a rivalry that's growing, that the USL needs rivalries like this one. And it felt like a rivalry. When I was down on the field, there were people talking about like, oh, I hate this. I hate the Legion squad. I hate this Legion team. Specifically, I hate Enzo Martinez, which, hey, guys, we've been there. I love Enzo now. But, hey, we've all been there. I don't know, man. I really enjoyed the match itself. I think that this is going to be an interesting one come Atlanta United 2. Because are we going to stick with the same game plan? I think that this should be the time to start Eddie Horvat. And don't forget, we're going to be for sure without Mikey. We're going to be for sure without Coach Sohn at Atlanta United 2. We're possibly going to be out without Fanwell Kavita. And who knows where Prosper is going to be at that point. So we're probably going to be seeing a pretty different lineup than we're used to seeing. I think that this is the time to start someone like Eddie Horvat. We need to get Bruno Lapa back into starting. And if we don't do that, I'm getting a little bit mad. I'm not going to hit the panic button. This is not a panic button situation, but this is a I'm getting a little bit fed up situation. I don't know. This was a frustrating match. I know a lot of people had their complaints about Coach Sohn. I know a lot of people had complaints about the ref. And the final thoughts I'm going to give on the ref is, if you know that they're calling stuff like that as tight as they were, I mean, how many offsides did we see? Countless. There were so many offsides in this match. Legion had 7. Louisville City had 6. Yeah. they're calling a tight game. You know they're calling a very, very tight game. They were a little bit whistle happy. And pre-match, this is something I don't know, it's a little bit strange. The refs came out and some of the Lou City supporters were out there. This is before any of the fans came in. This is when the Lou City supporters were setting up the stadium. And they were just kind of like, oh, I hope you guys have a good game. Whatever. And one of the refs verbatim said, you know, sometimes it's a little bit fun to be booed at. I mean, that's kind of the mentality that they were coming in with. It's the mentality they were coming in with, that they wanted to have, they wanted to be a little bit of the show. And we saw that. And I'm not saying that Legion were necessarily screwed over by it, because I think both teams were. And if you look at the two goals that were called offsides, one of them was for sure offsides, but the other one, I don't know. That Brian Ownby, Mushigalusa, that might not have been offsides. Both teams have complaints. So this just feels like just a massive miss from Coach Sohn to me. It was frustrating. And I do think this is a chance for the team to grow. We don't have to play Louisville City anymore. So we're coming up on this stretch of matches where, off the top of my head, because I don't have a schedule directly in front of me, but, you know, we have a Sacramento. We have to go away to Sacramento. That's going to be a hard match. We have a San Diego Loyal at home, and we have Tampa Bay away. And obviously, there's going to be a couple of other tricky matches. We have Detroit City at home. We have Pittsburgh away, or Pittsburgh at home. But really, those three matches, Loyola at home, Sacramento away, and Tampa Bay away, those are really our hardest matches left in the year. We're done with our hardest stretch. I think that if we do not see growth from here, I'm upset. But it's not time to panic yet, Legion fans. But hey, that's all right. Well, I do believe that if Legion can cement themselves, words are hard. Can you guys tell I did not sleep that much last night? Is it very obvious? Because I feel like it's very obvious to me. If we can get ourselves into the playoffs, as specifically a home playoff game, it does feel like we are on a collision course with the Louisville City or Tampa Bay. And hey, if we have to go back up to Louisville City, make sure you're up there. It's incredible. Hey, also July 23rd, please pack this house. The boys are coming back. We're playing Tulsa. JJ Williams is coming back to Birmingham. Pack the freaking house, y'all. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said, I'm going to try to figure out what the episodes are going to be this upcoming week. I'm trying to figure out Atlanta United soon. I'm trying to figure out Charleston. So basically, I'm just going to have to pre-record everything. Some things might take a little bit of a dip with content, but I'm just not sure yet. But thank you guys so, so much for listening. It means the world to me. It really does mean the world to me. If you have a moment and you did enjoy this, go ahead, leave a review on Spotify or on Apple and share it around. I want to create something special with this media thing, but also want to create something special in Birmingham. I want people to be talking about Legion and FC Birmingham and Birmingham futsal and so on and so forth. So let's create something special, y'all. And until next time, guys. Keep hammering on.